The Holy Spirit is just not letting me get away from this ninth prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk. The title they put on it is Move Out of My Authority. And every time I think that, okay, we have milked every drop of milk out of that, you know, then something more comes. So this is, in case you haven't been following, this is a prophecy that came through our brother Bronk Flint, pastor of the church in Immokalee, Florida, on January 12th of this year. And it's at his website. They have it now at Dave's website. We have it at my website, like from two Sundays nights ago, I think, as a PDF. The title is called Move Out of My Authority. And what the Holy Spirit is doing through those nine prophecies, you know, is training us. I mean, there is so much training in those prophecies if we're serious about revival. And it's almost, it's like he's spoon-feeding us exactly what we need to do to learn how to flow with him, okay? And so he's having me teach on it several times. I've gone through it. My copy, there's some of it's in red, and I've got notes and all kinds of things, and it's mine. You can't have it. Because I want to be instructed. I want revival, okay? I want the real thing. So do you, or you wouldn't be here. And the first sentence, now I can already tell you that the title of tonight's message is Speak the End Result. That's one of the instructions in this. Speak the end result. But it starts with this sentence. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke, says the Spirit of Grace. See, and that's what it's all about. A real revival and a real outpouring is the kind where we work with the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing of God. He is the one that does all of the supernatural things. Jesus himself did no miraculous work until he himself was baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, began co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And there were things that Jesus would do. He would go to certain places. He would, you know, he says, I don't do anything but what I see my Father do it and hear my Father say it. Okay. And he would sometimes speak words of authority and miraculous things would happen. He would command devils to come out and the devils would come out. He would lay hands on the sick at times and they would recover. But all of that, I mean, Jesus has a voice and Jesus has hands and Jesus has feet to follow the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit that does the supernatural work. He is the anointing. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? And this gospel, somebody asked me today, said, well, could Jesus come back next week? And I went, no. No, he can't. I'm not an end time scholar. I'm not a revelations. You don't hear me teach out of that. It's just not my job yet. And I said, no, he can't come back next week. And they said, well, why not? Because Jesus said, this gospel shall be preached in every nation, every tongue. And I'm telling you, this gospel, the one with power, has not been preached. Not in demonstration of power. And give him a real shot. Okay? So no, he's not coming back next week. I pray, come Lord Jesus, but it's not going to be next week. So he's trying to get us moving in a better flow, a better communion with the Holy Spirit, so that when we follow him, we know how to follow him first off, so we can hear him, follow him, do what he says do, say what he says say. And when we do that, just like with Jesus, the anointing will break the yoke. Amen? All right, so that one statement sets the tone for that whole prophecy. It's how do you flow in the anointing? And okay, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, or how do we do that? Well, about halfway through the second paragraph, he says, speak the end result. And believe that my spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and my angels, okay, and everything that heaven employs will go in front of you and surround your words with authority and power. Then the things that you place your hand to will be accomplished in a perfect standing of grace and authority. Last week, we talked about angels a little bit. And I think we went to Psalms 103:20. I think that's it. Again, I don't have my Bible with me tonight. Look it up for your own self. But it talks about the angels who excel in strength. But what do they hearken to? Do they hearken to the Word of God? Good students. No, they hearken to the voice of His Word. We're the ones that give voice to it. Now, I hate to brag on Pastor Bronk. I listened to his Wednesday night message. And this time I had to actually call him. Because he was teaching about angels. It's the second lesson on angels that he's taught. And he gave an illustration near the end of it. And it had to somebody dealing with memory loss. That's enough said. And he gives this illustration. He says, so the Holy Spirit helps us, but we've got angels. And, you know, this is near the end of the message, so it's illustrating everything that was taught leading up to it. But near the end of the message, he says, for example, you've got a husband and wife, and they've been having a nice picnic at the park, and they're about to leave and go get in the car and go home. And the husband forgets his sunglasses and his cell phone. And the wife doesn't notice that he left them on the picnic table. And they're walking towards the car. And behind the scenes, we all have angels. You do know that Jesus said, their angels behold the face of my Father. You don't lose your angel when you grow up, you know. Anyway, that's part of the teaching. But behind the scenes, now, the husband and wife are walking towards the car. The sunglasses and the cell phone are on the picnic table. She didn't notice it. But he didn't either. And they've got angels. And so his angel and her angel are talking to each other. And her angel says to his angel, aren't you going to remind him? You going to nudge him and make him remember that he left his sunglasses and cell phone on the table? See, what I'd love to. He said, you know, this guy, he went to the prayer center last week and he confessed for 30 minutes the Word of God. And it was really good. It loosed me to do a lot of things. But then right after that, on the way home, he says, you know, I'd forget my head if it wasn't attached to my body. And there's nothing I can do for the man. His own words have cut me off. I have no choice. So his angel said to her angel, what about you? Can you remind her to tell him? So in the parable, in the story, that's what happened. So the lady's angel reminded her. She told him, and they went back and got to... I called Bronk. I said, you probably don't know this, but from this point on, you know it. Gary Carpenter has a perfect memory. I never forget anything. Once I've read it, once I've seen it, once I've heard it, I have that forever. Now, you might not have known that before. You sure do know it now, buddy. And I better not find you saying anything against it either. He says, I'm not. Speak the end result. He wasn't really teaching out of this. He was teaching out of angels. But it's right. It follows right with this example. Speak the end result. Your angels hearken to your words. Now, the Holy Spirit hearkens to your words. We're not going to teach that again. So here's what I was hearing and seeing as I was, you know, seeking the Lord for this service tonight. I'm not going to turn to chapter and verse. Obviously, I don't have my Bible up here. But I'm going to use some out of the scripture and some out of my own life where that right there, speak the end result, has brought the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, for example, this scripture first. Let's talk about Abraham and Sarah. And I believe it's Genesis 17. I don't have my Bible in front of me. You can look it up later. But I believe it's Genesis 17 where God changes his name. And at that moment, Abram was 99 years old, and Sarai, his wife, was about 90. Now, previous to that, now see, Sarai was always barren. They'd been married a long time, decades and decades. They'd wanted to have children. They never could have children. We know the problem was on Sarai's side because, obviously, Abraham could perform. Is that okay? He was able to perform. Because, you know, the incident with Hagar, the Egyptian, and nothing wrong with the plumbing on Abraham's side, church. Okay, so because Hagar conceived and had a child. But by the time we get to Genesis 17 now, Abraham's not in that condition anymore. And we know that because Sarai laughed. Shall I have... And it plainly tells us about her. She was past the way, past the time of the way of women. So she's not ovulating anymore. And she laughs when she hears that we're going to have a baby because she said, shall I have pleasure from my husband again? Now that's a real nice way of letting you know what's going on. Okay. So in Genesis 17, though, God comes, and one of the things that he says to Abram, he changes his name. Let's say it this way. He changes forever what Abraham is going to say about himself. From this day forward, by the very instruction of God, no less than the instruction we've received, you are no more Abram. You are Abraham. And that name, that word in Hebrew means, I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. Now let's get this picture. It doesn't tell us them being 99 and 90 for no reason. Now I'm not 99, I'm 73. But already, now don't try and picture this too much, but already if I look in the mirror right after a shower, it's not a pretty sight. Okay? Okay, let's go to 99. And the wife is standing there, and she's 90. You got one shriveled up old prune laying down next to another shriveled up old prune. In the natural, this is not going to work. But God comes, and he tells you something supernatural. You're going to have a baby in your old age, and you're in a position where, you know, your situation, you can't perform. Your wife is in a situation where she can't conceive. And yet God says, from this day forward, speak the end result. He changed Sarai's name, too, to Sarah, which means princess. Princess, you usually think young. Queen, you think old. Princess, young. You know, going to birth the heir to the throne. So, think about this, though. Okay, obviously, Abram obeyed. Sarah obeyed. They changed their name. From that point on, they spoke the end result. But let's think, because I've been through this myself in a different way. Let's say after the first time they did it. Not when I say did it, I mean first time they said their new names. As well. Now, I don't know what you're thinking about. First time they changed their name and they spoke, I am the father of a multitude. And Sarah says, my name is no longer Sarah, I am Sarah the princess. And the first time they've said it one time and they look in that mirror and it's still not a pretty sight. Well, what is the natural thought right there? This is not working. You have gone off the deep end now. You become one of those crazy name it and claim it, blab it and grab it people. This is not working. Who do you think you... Look. That's always the, you know, look, the devil. You're still us like you always were. You're just the same person you always were. This isn't accomplishing anything. But see the difference between Abram... And most Christians, Abram obeyed God. See, it says he's called the friend of God because he believed God. Well, to believe God is to obey God. Isn't that right? So I'm sure Abram, the first time he looked in that mirror after they said it one time and nothing changed, I am the father of a multitude. I don't want to get too graphic, but maybe they tried to perform that night. Still nothing changed. Next day, what do you say? I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. I'm sure people thought he was stone crazy. Relatives, you know. Next time he meets his Uncle Fred. Hey, Abram, how you doing? Well, I'm doing fine. I need to tell you, though, I'm not Abram anymore. I've got a new name. You do? What's your name now? My name is Abraham. I am the father of a multitude. And right about there, you know, the guy's looking a little funny at him, Fred. He's looking at him and he goes, who told you that you're the father of a multitude? Here it comes. God told me. And right there, Abraham got that same look you get when you try and tell your relatives about the things God's told you. But Abraham would not change. Abraham did not have any quitting sense. Abraham and Sarah spoke the end result. And bless God. God, they can't do anything in the natural to make Sarah ovulate again. They can't do anything in the natural for Abraham to be able to perform again. But they spoke, and the Holy Spirit did. Speak the end result. Speak the end result. Okay, examples. A couple from my, just one. As this is the year, what year is this? 2020. In 1995, I had a heart condition that caused me to have to leave driving the trucks, because you could just black out from this heart condition at any moment. And how many knows it's not good to black out while you're driving an 80,000-pound rig down the road? That's not a good thing. And so I left that business. And they told me it was incurable. And once you have it for life. And they put me on this really strong medicine to control it. And as long as I took the medicine, it did control it. But it doesn't cure it. There is no. They still to this day say there is no cure. And during that time, we had a guy come through, gave a testimony how he got healed, threw away his medicine, and he's been fine. I went home, I threw away my medicine, and 7 days later, I nearly died. And I was devastated. And I got an appointment to see Dave, and I had already been teaching some here at the prayer center, and then my first lessons had a lot to do about confession. I taught about confession a lot, calling those things which be not as though they were, or you could say, speak the end result. And Dave, in a real nice, loving, but firm way, said, well, your problem is, Gary, you don't believe your own preaching. What? Oh, yeah. He says, you teach confession, but he says, God's not obligated to heal you because you threw away your medicine. He's obligated to heal you the moment you believe his word. What you need to do is go get that prescription refilled and take it, just like the doctor told you. But every time you take it, every time you take the natural medicine, take the spiritual medicine. And can find you some verses and start speaking that over you like it's already done. Well, okay. You know. So I went and refilled the prescription. And I had about four verses. I've learned you don't have to have every verse in the Bible on healing or prosperity. But you, by two or three witnesses, you know, I usually like three or four. I want some from the new and some from the old. Okay. But I picked a few that were, you know, that spoke to me. Like one of my favorite ones is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread. I will bless thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now that's, I can understand that. That's not too deep for Gary. I like, by his stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Okay. So I had three or four, I think four verses like that. Doesn't take long to me. But every time, and at first I had to take that medicine four times a day. As long as I took it, I was fine. But I would not take it without speaking it. I would speak those verses at least four times a day. Sometimes I did it more. And I got to tell you, every thought in my head would come like, this is stupid. This is not working. They've already told you this is incurable. What do you think you're doing? This is nuts. Look, you're not any different. If you stop taking the medicine today, you'll die. And on and on and on, that kind of voice goes, you know. But thank God I don't have much quitting sense either. Now 6 months went by, and when I teach this, I know people hear the word 6 months, but I want you to think 6 months. It's a while. Okay? And I'm doing it. I'm still taking four times a day. I'm taking the dose of medicine, but I'm speaking God's word, or I'm speaking the end result. Oh, and I also did what I'd learned from Norval and Dave. I would talk to my heart. And I'd say, heart, you are normal. I don't care what they say. You don't have any disease. And I would command that disease to go for me, you know. Not a whole lot. I didn't walk the floor like Holda with no hope and no hair. Those of you that heard the old Norval tapes. Nobody heard those. Oh, my God, I'm getting old. No, I'm young. Catch myself here. Anyway, but I would do it. I did do it, though. Say it out loud. 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, I had to get the prescription refilled. I had to do it more than, I think every month I had to get it refilled. But it was a 6-month one. And I got it refilled, and I heard the Lord, like you're hearing my voice. It was just real clear to me. He said, skip every fourth dose. I think that's how it started. Anyway, cut it down from 4 a day to 3 a day. Okay? So I started taking it 3 times a day. Still speaking the end result. I would call my heart healed. I would speak those verses. It's now 6 more months, and that's a long time. After that, so we've got a year now. Okay? At that point, he says, now cut it down to 2 a day. So I did it. 6 more months go by, cut it down to 1 a day. I kept saying the verses, though, speaking the end result. And I can still know when it was, May of 1998. I finished that prescription bottle, and I was going to go get it refilled. I had been taking 1 dose a day, but I was still speaking the word over me and calling my heart healed. But May of 1998, I took the last dose of that medicine. I was going to go get it refilled, and I heard this. You don't need to get it refilled. You'll never need it again. You are healed. Now that was May of 1998. This is March of 2020. I think I made it. But if you look that up on the internet, you'll find that they still say there is no cure. And I haven't been back to have them check me. I don't need to have them check me. Hey, if I'm alive and not taking the medicine and have no symptoms, that's good enough for me. Okay? You know, it's good enough for me. We could talk about what I wanted you to understand is you got to speak the end result when it looks like nothing's changing. I don't believe it. Abraham and Sarah, just saying it one time, I don't think the image in the mirror changed after that first night. They had to say it and say it and say it when it looks like it's not working. You speak the end result, okay? Here's one even way before that, way back before we hardly knew come here from Sikkim. Sue and I, when we first got saved, now remember, I was raised by O.R. Carpenter, which is a good man, but he's very much a macho man. He said, here's the mantra I grew up under. There is the right way to do things, the wrong way to do things, and the O.R. Carpenter way to do things, and bless God around here, you're going to do it the O.R. Carpenter way. And that's how I grew up, okay? Sue grew up in the feminist movement, bra burning, no man is ever going to tell me what to do. We had some issues. And we were trying hard to make it work. We really were, but man, we kind of polar opposites here, you know. Well, we get saved, and I just happened to get saved first, and man, you talk about, I needed that t-shirt that said, strongholds are us, okay? Strongholds are, I loved the Lord. I was genuinely saved. I'm trying to get Sue to go to church with me. I was so full of love, I couldn't get her to go with me. I threw my Bible at her. I showed her the love of God, I'll tell you right now. Strongholds, that's just a mild, there's a lot of that, okay? And she's watching me to even see if this is real, you know? Okay, I don't know, she's not seeing a whole lot of fruit, but she did see I had no interest in the bars anymore, I had no interest in the drinking anymore. A lot of things changed. Okay, now the point is this. She got saved within about a month or two, but we still were so full of strongholds. Our marriage is in trouble. I'll be honest with you. You look at us today, we are not the people the Lord started with. You weren't there in the beginning, okay? Lord, what are we going to do? I was in fear that we were going to get a divorce. And I think Sue was too. What are we going to do? And of all things, now this is still at my website. If you want to, it's on the home page down near the bottom. It's called Tapping Into God's Power. And I tell this whole thing. And there's a form there that you can print out. And what the form is, it's the 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, in the Amplified Bible with spaces in there where you can insert your name or your spouse's name. Because that's the instruction that the Lord gave us. And in the Amplified version, it's bad enough in the King James. It'll kill you dead in the Amplified. You know, love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me, all right. Mm-hmm. And everything in you goes, that's not me. You know, yeah, love takes no account of a suffered wrong. You know. But the instruction he gave us way back there, we were just barely saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, each of you, print that, you know, I had to print that out. Each of you say that multiple times a day over yourself, put your name in there, and have another one and put your spouse's name in there. And you start speaking my word over both of you. Well, at first you just feel like you're flat lying. Love suffers long. Love never takes account of a suffered wrong. You know, just on and all. And you think, but isn't it amazing? It began to work. See, his word becomes flesh if you let it. My word does not return unto me void. It accomplishes that for which I sent it. Well, but you got to sow it into your heart. Well, how do you sow it? You begin speaking it, till it gets in your heart in abundance. You and the word literally become one. And it started working amazingly. I've got a text that I'm not at liberty to share. I just got it today. A young couple that we're trying to help who's going through marriage problems right now. They're both saved, both spirit-filled, but they're very young in the Lord, or in these things anyway. And so I sent him last week to that link at my website, and I suggested that they both start doing it. I got a text from him today. He said, oh, my God, this is working so fast, I can't believe the change in just a week in both of us. You mean, I felt like going, call him up. You mean this works? Somebody should preach this. This works. Well, now, right on the other hand, nobody's perfect, you know. So I'll just tell you, I told them, that married couple, I said, look, Sue and I could have been divorced 1,000 times. You know, I mean, if you can't tell I love my wife, there's something wrong with you. My wife loves Gary. But that doesn't mean we could not have been divorced 1,000 times. Things happen, problems, boy. All kinds. Now, our marriage is very good. We hardly ever spat or anything, and I give God the glory for that. But it doesn't mean that there's no opportunities there for the flesh to get in. So if we do start going through a rough patch at all, guess where we go? Back to 1 Corinthians 13. We start speaking the end result again. Now, see, we're coming into revival. What he's leading up to here is John, Chapter 14, I think it's verse 12. The works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Well, is that just for the apostles? Or is that for the believer? I believe it's for the believer. The helmet of salvation that I mentioned shortly this morning. See, that was quite a sentence. I went home and wrote that out in a little more detail that he said this morning. He said the armor of God. We're not told to put on the whole armor of God so God will use us. I think most people look at it that way. That's not even what it says. See, God will use the baby Christian like he did the First Corinthian church in the gifts. He'll use you. But why does it say to put on the whole armor of God? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember Dave teaching us about that? Drip, drip, drip. These strategies, these military plans that the enemy, I'll just pick on Hans tonight. So Hans begins really doing this, and he's pressing in. He starts moving out of God's authority. The blind start seeing, and the lame start walking, and the deaf start hearing. Hans has got a target on his back now. Because of the abundance of his revelations and how God's using him, he's going to become more of a target. And a messenger of Satan, an angelos of Diablo, will be assigned against Hans. These are the strategies, the wiles of the devil. And what's the purpose? Same purpose as why the thorn against Paul, trying to stop him. Everything from riots to stonings to shipwrecks to everything in the world trying to stop Paul. Well, they're going to start coming against Hans. Well, these are the wiles, the strategies of the devil. Now, Hans better have on the armor of God. And that's not a matter of every morning getting up and going through a little play acting while you sing Father Abraham. I'm putting on the belt of truth. I'm putting on the shoes of peace. I'm putting on the breath. That's okay when you're little. How do you put on the belt of truth? You stop lying. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? You walk holy. You walk in the righteousness that He's given you. How do you put on those shoes of peace? The gospel of peace. How do you do that? Dave has a whole series called Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God. Boy, I like that. How do you literally put them on though? How do you walk in peace right in the midst of the fire? You learn to cast the whole of your care upon Him because He cares for you. And I don't care. Somebody was sharing with me today a story of a Japanese man, I think. Might have been Chinese. He gave this testimony at ORU chapel either yesterday or day before. But he was arrested for being a Christian and sent to a prison. And he was given a job. His job was to work in the sewer system, which really was not much more than like this big pond we have out back here. I don't know what they call that, but it's a cesspool. Many people, you know, it's where the poop goes, okay? And he got it. They put you, if they want you to die, they give you this job of working there because you literally have to wade out into it, whatever he had to do. So you're wading out through the poop and the urine. And if you get any kind of cut or any kind of infection or anything, it's going to get infected. You're going to die. And he's out there for being a Christian. That's the reason he was arrested. He said, when they first gave me that assignment, I thought I was going to die. He said, the stench was just overwhelming. It was just, I'm waist deep in this and I'm having to work in it. And he said, an old song from when I, many years ago, began coming up into me. And y'all know I can't sing. But it's that song, I walk through the garden alone. Does anyone know? Anyway, if you remember that song, it's about you and the Lord walking through the garden, just you and Him. And the joy we share while we tarry there, nobody else shall know. An old song, we sing it a lot in the Baptist church. He said, that just kept coming up. And I began to sing it out loud, right in the middle of my work. He says, you know, it got to the point that cesspool became the garden where Jesus and I walked together. And he said, some of the greatest memories of my life are the fellowship that he and I had as we walked through that garden. The person telling me, tears were just running down her cheek, and I was close. Boy, you talk about learning to cast the whole of your care, putting on the shoes of peace. How do you put on the helmet of salvation, people? That's a renewed mind. I like how one pastor put it. I can't improve on it. He says, at some point, dear Christian, your mind is going to have to believe what God says about you. And that is the helmet of salvation. But above everything, taking the shield of faith. Now, what's the shield of faith? Well, what did Jesus use when he was being attacked by the devil in the wilderness and all those fiery darts were coming at him? What did he use for the shield of faith? It is written. It is written. It is written. He would speak God's word. Then we talk about going on the offensive with prayer and the sword of the Spirit. But see, what God's got us in right now, this season of preparation, be honest with you, I see it as putting on this whole armor of God. So, because once a revival starts, you're going to be busy, busy, busy. In one of these prophecies, it says doctrine is going to be so important, but you're not going to have time for arguments because there's too many sick to be healed. You understand that? That makes sense to me. But see, he's giving us this preparation time that we truly, each one of us, gets on the whole armor of God, that we're walking in what he has provided, not so he'll use us so much, but so that we don't be destroyed by the wiles of the devil. And that's what the armor of God is for. So you don't run off. There's no handle sticking out of love of money where you go running off after the money. There's no handle sticking out where it's still lust, adultery, and that type of thing. So you don't go running off after that. And the glory of men, that handle's been cut off. You're not seeking after the glory of men or trying to build an empire or anything. Well, one of the things while we're in this training, speak the end result. So I've been dusting off my old confessions. Yes, sir. Really? I'll make sure I don't want to overstep now. Because the devil will attack you in any area. There's been an attack on my eyes, I'll just tell you, that I'm speaking against it. And that thing is going to go. It's a mountain that's going to go into the sea. All right. Sue has been under attack under multiple things and in her physical things. The war is on. We're not deceived. Now, I'm telling you that, but I don't talk that all the time. If you ask me how Sue's doing, my woman be looking fine and feeling fine, I'm telling you. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to speak the end result. Our finances have been under attack, personal and ministry both. I'm not saying that because I want you to send me a dime. Don't you dare. Okay? But I know what to do. I recognize it as being a strategy, a wile of the devil. He doesn't care what makes Gary stop as long as he gets Gary to stop. Well, I'm not going to stop. And I'm not going to allow my mind to try to fix it. See, this whole prophecy here is step out of the natural, trying to fix it. Step back and operate in the anointing and allow the anointing to fix it. Hey, I know how to write an appeal letter that doesn't sound like an appeal letter. If I want to do something in the natural to try and get more money to come in, I know how to do that. I know how to make a few phone calls. I could be scheduled up with meetings, get some money coming in, you know. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm not going to do any of that, not unless he tells me. I'm not talking about taking meetings and things. So what am I going to do? I'm going to step back, which is what I've been doing, and I'm speaking the end result. Get my old confession sheet out on prosperity. Walk the floor for half an hour, maybe an hour. Just say it over and over and over again. My angels, I want wore out, busy angels. I want them so hearkening to the voice of his word, they're going, can anybody shut this guy up? See, yeah, I'll go ahead and tell that. See, now I don't know who it is, and I don't want to know who it is. But see, I love adventures in God. So rather than try and book meetings and doing the things that in the natural I know I could do to fix it, I've just been speaking God's word. Well, one day in prayer this last week, a lot of times during those prayer times, I'll sit over here with my little laptop because when things come, I want to catch it and write it down, you know. So I'm sitting here at that table, and I get up to go to the bathroom, you know. And I come back, and there's an envelope on my table. As my name has said, just says Gary and Sue Carpenter. Doesn't say Gary Carpenter Ministries. Makes a difference. And, well, like Dave says, it's not polite. You know, I can feel, I know there's money in there. You can tell, you can feel it, right? I know there's money in there, okay? But you don't, like Dave says, you don't rip it open and look. So I put it in my briefcase, and I didn't open it till I got home, you know. It was a substantial amount of money, several hundred dollars. Whoever you are, God bless you for hearing and obeying God. But see, for me, I know I didn't do anything to cause it. I didn't do a thing in the natural. Nobody even knows. I mean, this is the first time I've said anything, and I'm not saying it now so that you'll send money. Please, I'm trying to teach. When it's your turn, you can tell your life experiences, okay? But glory to God. And that put us back in the black. You know what I mean? I always keep a little reserve. When I go in my checkbook, when we go into the reserve, there's a minus sign. I don't like being in the minus sign. Because we still got money, but in my checkbook, it's a minus sign. Put us back in the plus sign. Glory to God. All right. Well, that's just the beginning. That's the trickle through the crack in the dam. You wait till the real inheritance that's laid up for Gary starts coming through that dam. It's going to be very different. So just say it with me. I speak the end result. I say what God says. I don't try and fix things in the natural. Now, I'm going to stop right there because there are things to fix in the natural. God is not going to change the oil in my car for me. I'm not going to look out my window and see God, you know, all of a sudden my car starts and some angel is driving it down to Jiffy Lube. That's not going to, okay. There are things that he expects us to do in the natural. How did Dave say that? He'd come in from Brazil or some, tell Rosalie, I'm telling you, the people got healed. The blind saw, the lame walk. And Rosalie, pat, 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 that's so good. Take out the trash. No, you don't understand. God used me. You don't understand. Deaf ears open. Pat, 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 take out the trash. He says, I had to learn that the righteousness of God still has to take out the trash. But see, we're not talking about that. There are things to do in the natural, but he's not talking about that. Listen, when the enemy comes, don't try and fix it in the natural. Step back. I like how he worded that here. I think that was in today's lesson. Yes, hang on here. Don't know if I can find it. Here it is. Step back from the natural. Go into the spirit and realize that you are my son, my daughter, empowered with answers. Empowered with answers. Empowered with grace. And empowered even just to stand in chaotic situations and exude an anointing that breaks the yoke. I can just see Abram after his name was changed. I wonder how much time he spent. I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. I wonder how much time Sarai spent. I am a princess. I'm going to give birth to an heir. I am a princess. I'm going to have... They're saying what God said about them. We need to say what God says about us. Step back in the spirit. See, I love those kind of things when they happen because I know I didn't do anything to make it happen. It's something to do with the Holy Spirit and the angels behind the scene. I don't know what he said to that person, whoever it was. God bless him. And I believe he will. Because he blesses obedience, you know. Now these are nice little teachings that he's doing right now, but soon and very soon it's going to move from this. And when I say, I don't know what soon means to somebody who lives outside of time. Okay, but this is just the beginning. Learning to hear, flow with him. I'm trying to do it by example in my gift right now. But listen, where he's headed. Learning to hear him, obey him at Walmart. And again, I love how God's balancing out this message between Alan and myself right now. Not going out to practice on people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spending your time in prayer, spending your time in fasting, spending your time in the Word so that you learn His voice, so that we operate the same way Jesus did. We do what we see our Father doing and we say what we hear our Father saying. And when we learn to do that and speak the end result and do what He says, we're going to have the same results that Jesus had because He promised it in John 14, and I have to quit. Okay.